Wickedness is real. Oppression is real. But more real is our victory. For this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God has commissioned Bishop David Oyedepo to preach the word of faith, liberating men everywhere from all oppressions of the devil. Get set for an empowerment that will enable you to rule in the midst of your enemies and subdue them under your feet. Now, Bishop David Oyedepo.
Reflecting the nature of your Father God, by whom all things were created. You are all displaying the mind of Christ that's able to create and make happen whatever he desires at any time. It's my prayer that that unction for innovation, for creativity, will be on the increase in your life. We'll be looking at our next in the series of visionary leadership. And tonight we'll be touching on a very important subject, visionary leadership part 4. Because we are coming out of here a visionary leader, a purposeful leader, a purpose-driven personality. You'll not walk anymore by guesswork in your life. God's plan will be so clean and so clear to you every step of your journey. Visionary leadership part 4. And as we look at this subject, I'd like us to be very sensitive, because you are not only laying hold on a key that will ensure your leadership, but it will sustain, it will help you sustain your leadership for your lifetime. There are too many X this and X that, but it's possible to live through your life maintaining the front line. You shall maintain the front line. You shall maintain the front line. When God was speaking to one of his ordained leaders, he made a very clear recommendation on how to make the most of his leadership destiny, as it were. It was God who called him into leadership. You remember the story of Joshua. Moses prayed, "Set a man over your flock, O God." And he said, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, and a man in whom is the Spirit, and set him apart. Is the one I've separated for that leadership position." It's the same way you and I were separated by redemption for leadership. By redemption, you and I have been redeemed as priests and kings ordained to reign on the earth. So we share a common background with Joshua in that respect. So leadership is the right of every child of God. Say with me, the right. It is the birthright of every child of God. Redemption confers on you and I the right to leadership, the right to reign as priests and kings on the earth. As a priest, you are supposed to reign. As a career person, you are ordained to reign. So being called into ministry is not a call to devalue your destiny. Whether you are called into priesthood or you are called into any career, you are called to reign in that career. You are called to reign in that ministry. So wherever you are called into by redemption, it is your birthright to reign. But and here, according to Galatians chapter 4, as long as he's a child, devoureth nothing from a servant. So he has to still grow, even though it's his birthright. He has to grow into it. He has to grow into that leadership. Everyone has a place in God's master plan to reign on earth. But everyone has to grow to qualify for that throne. And after God separated Joshua to where he has ordained him to be before the foundation of the world, because every product has his purpose absolutely determined before it arrived in the market. And that's what happens to you and I. Every time people step into the kingdom, another king is born. But whether he now lives to reign or not is another story altogether. So after Joshua arrived, God gave him the tool that guarantees his success, the success of his leadership calling, in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Now Moses, my servant, is dead. That's what he said in verse 1. Now it is your responsibility by divine election to lead the people into the promised land. And this is the only way to get there. This book. Everybody say this book. Verse 8 said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate therein day and night and observe to do what's written therein. And then you will make your way prosperous. And you will make a great success of this leadership mandate on your life. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. How? Because it's in your heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you will observe to see where every information you have gathered applies. And then you go ahead to apply them accordingly. And then you make your way prosperous. And you have good success. Somebody has said, today a reader, tomorrow a leader. Today a reader, and tomorrow a leader. Learning is leading. Every successful leader is known to be a reader. And every committed reader is a potential leader. Schooling is for a period of time, but learning is for a lifetime. Schooling is for a season, but education is for a lifetime. God spoke to Joshua this book, and he said, night and day. How often is that? That is, information will remain an eternal requirement for sustained leadership. Because you have to be ahead in order to become a successful head. You have to see ahead to successfully lead the way. So it's so important that the reason why we have very poor leadership in this part of the world is that we have mistaken schooling for learning. We have mistaken schooling for education. Schooling only introduces you to the art of learning. Learning remains a lifetime task for anyone that wants to realize his leadership, his full leadership potentials. I was privileged to speak to one of the leading presidents on this continent sometimes in 2005. And I asked him a very serious question. I said, Your Excellency, what do you suppose to be the greatest problem in Africa today as a respected leader on this continent? What do you see as the greatest need of this continent? He said, leadership. What is it? That is a leader among leaders. He said, leadership. That is a frontline leader in this continent that you can't count more than three before you count him. He said, the problem is leadership. What that means is poor leadership. What do I call it? Poor leadership. There are four fundamental requirements, according to scriptures, for successful leadership, impactful leadership, effective leadership, efficacious leadership. Exodus chapter 18 and verse 22. It outlined these four things in very clear terms. Chapter 18 of Exodus and verse 22. This was Jethro giving a counsel from the Lord, because he said, if you do these things and God command this, so this is God's commandment on effective leadership. Leadership placement. Effective leadership placement. This is what God said through Jethro. He said, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all people, what did he say? Able men. What did he say? That talks about capacity. Capacity, able men, such as fear God, number two. And number three, men of truth. Number four, hating covetousness. Now listen to this. This is God's own fundamental requirement for any man to fulfill the leadership mandate on his life. Exodus 18:22. Jethro was speaking to Moses as inspired by God. He said, if you do these things and God command this so, that is God's commandment, that in the placement of men, the following requirements must be met. Able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place them over them, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. So the leadership is graduated. The leaders of thousands, leaders of hundreds, leaders of fifties, and leaders of ten. That means assess them on these four criteria. What is his capacity rating? And if you look at that, you find that, the most variable of the four requirements is ability. What do I call it? Ability. You either fear God or you don't fear God. There's no midway about it. You are either a man of truth or you are a man of error and lies. You either hate covetousness or you love it. But ability is in degree. And I want to hinge on that first one tonight in this teaching. Capacity is a fundamental requirement in determining your leadership rating. And capacity is a function of your resourcefulness. The quality and quantity of information at your disposal in your field. The quality and the quantity of information at your disposal in your calling. John Maxwell once said, leadership development is a lifetime journey, not a brief trip. It's a lifetime journey, not a brief trip. So capacity building is the number one task for effective leadership. What do I call it? Capacity building. Capacity building is the number one requirement for effective leadership. When God listed the criteria, he began with ability. Able men. Men with required capacity to handle the level of leadership to which they are to be assigned. Capacity. Capacity. Paul the apostle, the most outstanding apostle in the New Testament times, said to Timothy, the cloak that I left with thee at Troas, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, and especially my parchments, my notes. He was a lifelong learner. No wonder he still stays alive today. Is it possible to preach any full gospel without, Paul said? Because two thoughts of the New Testament came through him. In fact, it was said of him, much learning is making you mad. Paul was an addicted learner, not a religious leader. Agrippa said, much learning is making you mad. He was an addicted learner. So no wonder he has remained a transgenerational leader. 2,000 years after his departure, Paul remains a celebrity on earth in the kingdom of God today. Much learning is making you mad. Bring my books, not my book, my books. And don't forget my notes. Die hard learner. There are many things that people are involved in. They are not informed at all. They are just busy reinventing the wheels. They are not informed at all. They don't even know where to look for it. Are there not people today who are according to ministry who cannot define ministry? What is ministry? Ministry, evangelist, apostle, prophet. And you are going to live your life to a cause you cannot define? 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 13. That is how leaders are made. Leaders are addicted learners. They are not just readers. They are note-taking readers. Note-taking readers. You see, there is no return match in the race of life. So if you like, waste this one. They call you Babatunde is a deception. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that what? Judgment. You are passing through this life only once. If you like, squander it. If you like, invest your best into it. Paul the apostle was the last to come. He was the least of all of them according to religious writing. But talk of the spirit world. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. I see something happening to your life from now. Daniel, the most excellent leader in Babylon, said, and I, Daniel, understood by books. Daniel chapter 9, verse 12. And I, Daniel, understood by books. Daniel had been named the most preferred of the presidents in chapter 6. And in chapter 9, Daniel said, you need to know my secret. My understanding is enhanced through books. I, Daniel, understood by books. That's how Daniel got there. My Bible said, by wisdom kings reign and princes decree justice. And yea, all the judges of the earth. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 15 to 16. Leaders are learners, and all committed learners are potential leaders. Wisdom is not common sense. Wisdom is applied knowledge. What is wisdom? Applied knowledge is not common sense. You can't get any outstanding result using common sense. You need proven sense to command proofs. Wisdom is not common sense. After all, God asked Moses to lay hands on Joshua and he will be filled with the spirit of wisdom. But that will not stop him from embracing the book and the contents of the book in order to make its way prosperous and have a good success in the pursuit of the leadership mandate on his life. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is no substitute. Eloquence is no substitute. There are many eloquent illiterates. Our poor reading culture is the reason for poor leadership in Africa. Until we recapture a vibrant reading culture, we don't have a future of vibrant leadership. By wisdom, kings reign. So any king that is void of wisdom will be ruined. It takes wisdom for every king to reign and for princes to have their decrees pass through without anyone being able to resist it. And wisdom is applied knowledge. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, the same is a wise man. It is not what you think, it's what he says. So you must be able to apply yourself to what he says before you can be qualified to walk in wisdom. Matthew 7, 24 to 28. And what a glorious time for this young, upcoming, global, world-shaking leaders to catch this now. That's why the devil is after the youths. To engage them in unproductive, unprofitable activities so as to rob them of their colorful destiny. If wisdom is applied knowledge, can you apply what you don't know? Can you put an implement to work which you don't have? Therefore, knowledge is the resource base for wisdom. Knowledge is the resource base for wisdom. My Bible says in Isaiah 33 and verse 6, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. Isaiah 33 and verse 6, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and the strength of salvation. So for stability of destiny, wisdom and knowledge are fundamental requirements. For your leadership destiny to be made manifest, wisdom and knowledge are fundamental requirements. Every leading professional is an ever-learning professional. Abraham Lincoln said, I don't think much of a man who is not wiser today than he was yesterday. I don't think much of a man who is not wiser today than he was yesterday. Henry Ford said, when you stop learning, you are old, whether at 20 or at 80. When you keep learning, you are young, whether at 80 or at 20. He said, the best thing therefore to do is to keep your mind young. So age is of the mind, it's not of the days. Neither is it of the date that you were born. T.L. Osborne said, when you stop learning, you start dying. And it's always a very silent, unannounced death. I met a man sometimes last year, and he dazed me with his level of ignorance. He was a graduate of many years standing, and has retired from active service. And he was talking to me, he said, do you know, God will save us. What is happening, tsunami? He thought tsunami was a nation. He thought tsunami was what? I mean, understand the joke. Now see, that comment began to destroy the cells of my body. I said, okay, we see another time. God bless you, sir. That is how uninformed he has become. No matter how costly your vehicle, if you don't keep the battery charged, it will lose power to move your vehicle. That you are in charge today does not maintain you as in charge tomorrow. You have to keep your battery constantly charged. How do you charge it? By running it. So if you don't keep running fresh information into your system, you soon lose your position before you know it. You lose your position before you know it. So you need to keep running the battery of your destiny. Daily, daily, daily. The legend, Billy Graham today, had a reading culture he has maintained for nearly 70 years. A reading culture which has made him an enigma. One without a possible, immediate, foreseeable replacement. If your generation fails at recapturing a vibrant reading culture, Africa is doomed. It is not hard work that wears people out. It is wrong work. It is not hard work that wears people out. It is wrong work. My Bible says in Psalm 45 and verse 3 to 5, guard thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, and in thy majesty, ride prosperously because of truth and righteousness and meekness, and thy right hand shall teach thee deep things. Come and say deep things. So the deeper your insight in your field, the higher you fly in the race. Ride on prosperously and in majesty. The deeper your insight, the more majestic your journey. This is very important. You have to be ahead to become a successful head. You have to see ahead to successfully lead the way. God's fundamental recommendation for everyone with a leadership mandate is this book. What is it? He recommended the book for you to make your way prosperous and to have a good success, to fulfill the leadership mandate on your life. This book. Every man without a library, a functional library, is organizing his way to the mortuary. Because any man that wanders away from the path of understanding, Proverbs 21 verse 16, he shall abide in the congregation of the dead. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all your gettings, get understanding. And what will it do to you? A crown of glory shall this she deliver unto thy head, and an ornament of grace. So in the school of royalty, wisdom and understanding are fundamental requirements. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7 downwards. Seest thou a man that is diligent in his own business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before me, man. In his own business. So for you to reign in your own calling, you must be found to be diligent in the pursuit of it. Another translation said, seest thou a man that is skillful in his business. And skill requires currency. Come and say currency. Skill requires currency. We've been flying our own plane now many, many years. And every year, every pilot goes back for the currency. Every year, whether you are 50 years old flying, it doesn't matter. You return back for currency, recurrency, you know, time. You must go back there. They retrain you. They can't agree that what you learned last year can handle you now. So you go back every year. Can you imagine people now flying who have never done a recurrency since the first flight they had? That's a crash about to happen if the plane never. In fact, the air controller won't let you take off. They watch your certificate and your license. Oh, no. You are due for the currency. Thank you. When you mention your name there, they say, no, that one can't fly anymore. That's how the controller in heaven is saying to many people, no, go for the currency. Go for the currency. You may crash if you fly like that. Go for the currency. Go and refuel. Go and recharge. Go and acquire the current skill in town. Able men with the required capacity. It is not the greatness of your calling that determines your ultimate placement. It is your capacity rating that determines your ultimate placement. Put them over thousands according to their capacity, over hundreds, over 50, over 10. In Matthew 25, in the parable of the talents, he gave to everyone according to their several abilities. So what is given to each one is according to his capacity ratings. Capacity rating. This is crucial. Paul was speaking to one of the church leaders in those days by name Timothy. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God as a workman that will not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. It takes the book for you to fulfill the leadership mandate on your life. So it's not enough to know your course. You must remain absolutely committed if you will ever realize it. Charles Tremendous Jones, that's his name. Tremendous is his nickname. He said, you are the same today that you are going to be 5 years from now, except for two things: the people with whom you associate and the books you read. Charles Jones, that's what he said. Two things determines your tomorrow: the people you associate with and the books you read. So imagine people with poor associations and no reading. Then they have made a fool of their destiny. I had the privilege of hosting the New York Times editorial team sometimes in my office. You know New York Times? And they asked me, what do you do with your time? In the interview we're having, and I said, I read and I think. It was an impromptu question. It was not a formal question listed. It was an impromptu question. What do you do with your time? I read and I think. Before this meeting is over, I will bring you my notes for the year. And I'm not supposed to be a student who will write exam. My notes for the year. There is no day I don't write. I capture the facts when I read, and I capture my thoughts when I meditate. Because thoughts are volatile. They are volatile treasures. They are either documented or they become decimated. I perceive there'll be more books written from my notes when my time on earth is over than all I'm able to write when I'm here. Because I write longhand. They are my notes, so I don't have any mercy on them. I write longhands. I don't write on sheets of paper. I write on banded leather notes so they can be preserved for centuries. Where are the learners today? Until there's a bath of learners, there is no bath of leaders in view. Somebody asked me again, sometimes he said, how do you get time to read? I said, can I ask you a question? How do you get time to eat? What eating is to you is what reading is to me. How do you get time to eat? One of my greatest inspirations is by name Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin, according to history, has 3 years of formal education only. And Benjamin Franklin became an apprentice in a printing shop. And the money they dole out to them for lunch, he would gather the money to buy books. And Benjamin Franklin, as it were, taught himself to read and to write. 3 years for my education. You know how many years you have been going to school? Somebody with 3 years for my education left his name in the sand of history by a dint of practical responsibility and a discovery of what makes a leader on time. Benjamin Franklin, if you like to know, grew to found a national newspaper, grew to establish a university, became one of the foremost American philosophers who single-handedly negotiated the French support for the revolution, which gave them the victory. 1 3-year primary school boy grew his destiny into a transcendental leadership. Today, there is Benjamin Franklin Day observed in America as a public holiday. Benjamin Franklin became an inventor. He had the most successful study on lightning arrestors. He taught himself. The first life laboratory he entered was his own. That is how reading and learning make leaders. We graduate so soon. No wonder we degenerate so fast. We graduate so soon. We celebrate the papers we have acquired without minding the currency of our knowledge. We graduate so soon. No wonder we degenerate so fast. We graduate so soon. No wonder we degenerate so fast. That was the story of Benjamin Franklin, founder of a university, founder of a tabloid, a newspaper. An inventor, a scientific, major scientific contributor. Think of it. Think of Michael Faraday. How many have heard that name before? You must have. Michael Faraday, another Bush boy, who also was an apprentice in the printing shop and took delight in attending scientific experiments, which was the order of the day then. They were not dancing about the halls like people do today. Scientists come in to present their works in public and people pay their way to come and watch it. So, but as a printer boy, he now put together the lectures of one of the presentations of Humphrey Davis, a notable professor in their days, a leading scientist in their time, and banded it properly and passed it to him as a gift. The man never saw him. He was too small to be seen by anybody. He was an apprentice. He was a poor boy. He's not educated. He's not an illiterate. But he also taught himself to read and to write. He had no formal education. That was how Michael Faraday grew. And when the lab attendant of Humphrey Davis resigned, this scientist thought there was a boy who gave me a binder paper the other time, so he rode on his horseback to go and look for him by the address on that paper and found him and said, "Would you like to be my lab attendant?" The boy jumped. "I've been looking for that opportunity in my life." So he became a lab attendant. How many understand the meaning of lab attendant? Not laboratory scientist, laboratory attendant. Not lab technologist, laboratory what? Attendant. The biographer said something very interesting here. At 44, Michael Faraday became the most acclaimed scientist of his time. What is his secret? He extended the scientific education by a most formidable program of reading. He had a reading culture that was dangerous. Faraday was not only reading scientific publications, he was reading extensively spiritual things. And this biographer said, Faraday had found an outstanding life's purpose by studying and believing the teachings of the Bible, which they all believe was responsible for his great feat. He was a die-hard learner. And at 44, he became the envy of a professor. You know what it means for a lab attendant? To become the envy of a professor? That is how learning makes leaders. Wake up, wake up. Even if you are supposed to be, if your mission is to be selling in a kiosk, that kiosk has potential to become a major shopping mall. If you have enough guts. Enough what? Guts. By a diligent study of the humble beginnings of major world shakers from a functional library. It is the quality of your resource that determines your results. It's the quality of your resource that determines your ultimate results. Until you become a committed reader, you never become a successful leader. You can bear any title. Titles are free in our culture, isn't it? There are people that have 30 chieftaincy titles, isn't it? I know there was a time in this country when someone had 300 titles. How many? Titles here are free. You can go to this place and become Igwe. You go to that one and become Eze. You go to this one and become Otumba. You become Ekeri. Any kind, you can carry any kind. It's very free. How can you be driving to a destination you don't know? I had the privilege of studying the works of Paul Yonggi Cho. That was his name then. It's now David Yonggi Cho according to the new name. Yonggi Cho's outstanding pastoral ministry became my greatest influence in pastoring. I saw the crowd of the future as I buried myself in the study of his works. I read volumes of Yonggi Cho's materials, particularly between 84 and 85, to the point that I knew we were building a fantastic church that this part of the world has never known. You know why the earth remaineth? Seed time and harvest shall not cease. And the seed is the word of God. So anytime you don't have a word for what you are doing, it does no future for you. You need an insight, something that will be a seed from which you are expecting an harvest. So I knew we were building a great church by studying the strategies of Yonggi Cho and testing it on the pages of scriptures and finding them to be real and genuine. I knew we were going there. Librarians are not bookkeepers. Librarians are resource pharmacies. They help prescribe your research needs. Oh, I'm looking for materials on this and that. And they say, okay, give us some time. And they check through their lines on the net, check through this and that, and make recommendations, just like a pharmacist would recommend for your healing. They make recommendations for your reading needs. These are the things you need to get the kind of information you are looking for. And bless God, the internet is open today. Instead of browsing nonsense and watching what will kill you. Don't you see people, they write there on the cigarette, this is dangerous for your head. And he goes to buy it, isn't it? They say it's dangerous for you. I say, yes, I want danger. So a great church cannot emerge without, and I told you the other time, if you don't know the existing record, there is no way you can think of breaking the records and setting new ones. You must know what already exists before you can build on it. There is no free lunch in life. I've shared with you two stark illiterates who became world-renowned people, even in the field of science. That means there is nowhere learning can lead a man. Haven't found your place. You learn your way through to the top. Haven't found your place. You learn your way to the top. All these fellows are painted to you are believers. What makes them different from you and many others is because they are readers. They are reading believers. They are not dogmatic believers. They are dynamic believers who believe that Christianity is a conferment of kingdom responsibility. Christianity is not making God responsible. It is sharing responsibility with God in the light of scriptures. This is what God said for you to do in order for him to move, and you give yourself over to doing it. Then you have committed God's integrity to perform. Can I hear your amen? Can I hear your amen? I'd like you to desperately crave a baptism of a fresh grace that will install a new order of reading culture in your life that will keep you searching and searching for what is required to make the most of your journey. We are not backward because we are black. We are backward largely because we are blind. Oprah Winfrey said, excellence is the greatest deterrent for racism and sexism. What is it? Excellence is the greatest deterrent to racism and sexism. Nobody will ask what your sex is if you have what is required. Today, Covenant University is the leading university in Nigeria, and yet is headed by a woman. Headed by a woman. So nobody cares about your gender. Many years ago, I went on a trip to the U.S. and came back full of excitement. And my wife said to me, what did you bring? So I said, come and see. So I opened the box. It was books from top to bottom. And then my wife said, what else? I said, that's all else. Now hear what I said. I said the contents of these books, if understood and applied, can make me a manufacturer of the things I would have bought. Benjamin Franklin was going hungry for books. The money for books, he collects the one for today, collects the one for tomorrow, collects the one for next tomorrow, put them together. To buy a book is longing to possess. While others were buying clothes, he was buying books. While others were dressing their body, he was dressing his destiny. It's a world of difference. It's very important for us to know that it's our responsibility to determine where we end our journey. Knowledge is not free. It's acquired by a cost. Proverbs 23 and verse 23, the word says, buy the truth and what? And sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also, what? Wisdom and instruction and understanding. Numbers 23:23. Buy wisdom and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. What do you do? Buy it. What do you do? Buy it. And time is the only acceptable currency for buying wisdom. What do I call it? Time. So you invest your time in reading, in taking notes, in meditating towards finding a way forward in the job you are doing, in planning based on the facts at your disposal, Because every enterprise becomes, is built by wise planning. It becomes strong through the use of common sense and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. So you need facts to have a successful plan. So reading and learning is a fact-hunting process. You are fact-hunting. You are looking for relevant facts by people who have gone that way before through their materials and whatever is at your disposal from them. I believe nobody's future can be greater than his exposure. My Bible says, as far as your eyes can see, it shall be given to you. No one's future can be greater than his exposure. Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. I have said before, knowledge is a universal commodity. Wise men reach out to wherever they can get to buy. Say with me, knowledge is a universal commodity. It has no coloration of race or gender. Gloria Copeland taught me the way to unending prosperity. She's a woman. Knowledge is a universal commodity. Wise men reach out to wherever they can get to buy. Job 36 and verse 3. I will fetch knowledge from afar. Job 36 verse 3. I will fetch what? Knowledge from afar. I will fetch knowledge from afar. And the cheapest way to get that is reach out to all relevant authors in the field of your pursuit, investing your time, investing your energy, and investing your resources. Getting that done. If you don't get exposed on time, you soon begin to get decomposed. To be exposed is to be enthroned, and to be inexposed is to be dethroned. The choice is yours. Go anywhere to find it. He that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, the door shall be opened. Let us begin to recognize fathers of knowledge in our own fields of endeavor. Say, be followers of them who through faith and patience obtain the promises. There is nowhere you are going that somebody has not been there before. So diligently, humbly look out for those who have been there before. You could imagine if Paul Yonggi Cho was in this part of the world when I was reading him. I would just go there and sit down and understudy him practically. Just come in incognito and gather all gatherables and go back to the fire. The history of church growth in America began by an influx into South Korea. They were going there in droves to understudy the pastor of the greatest church in the world. And by adapting the inside of God, the church in America began to grow. I see your destiny beginning to blossom afresh. We must not introduce apartheid or racism in the school of knowledge. When we promote racism in learning, we begin to lose grounds to mediocrity. Anyone that has it should earn our respect as we go to look for it. It is your choice that ultimately determines your lot. My prayer is that no one will leave this place today without a genuine commitment to a new reading culture. Searching and searching until you find whatever is missing in your life. Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? We are not here today because God just said so. We decided to do our part so that God can be committed to his part. He said, if you do what I tell you to do, I will set you up on high. So you will determine where I set you up tomorrow. How much what I tell you to do that you are doing will determine where you find yourself tomorrow. If you diligently hearken to my voice and observe to do all that I command you, I will set you up. You will do it first, then I will set you up. Until you do your part, I can set you up. Remove the word of God, the book of books, out of my life, and the various books I was privileged to come by in my short journey on earth to be next to zero remaining. Not everybody breathing is living. Many are merely existing. And it takes one that is living to become a leader. Whatever you are before you die is all that you can become. You can't become anything more after you have died. So don't watch your destiny crushed. Wake up and do something about it. Wake up and do something about it. Wake up and do something about it. When you engage a functional library as a lifestyle, your destiny never ends up in the mortuary. You keep living years after you are gone. Even though you are dead, the world refuses to bury you because of the values you represent. It keeps speaking. Go to the library today, you find books written 1914, books written 1916, they are there. It takes a reader today to become a leader tomorrow. You can't eat your cake and have it. There is no free lunch in life. The quality of information that you engage in your journey is what determines the beauty of your destination. And this information has to be consciously acquired. I'm sure a number of you must have heard me share this testimony. I read 39 classical biographies on ministry before I came into full-time ministry. How many? 39. So when I was into the full-time ministry, I had 39 different dimensions of ministry right inside me that helps in balancing my decisions. I'm back on my journey. There is no university in the world where they teach you how to fund a university. Is there anyone like that? So if your job is to fund one in future, you will now need to learn how those who funded it before and is working till now funded it. How many understand what I'm talking about? So learning is a lifelong task. So a mandate to set up a university came down. Yes, it came from heaven. Why not? The calling of God on Joshua came from heaven. God spoke to him directly. But he said, look, check the book. Check the book. If you want to make it true, check the book. Check out on the relevant informations. Even though the mandate came from heaven, now the onus now came on whosoever is given that mandate to explore the most strategic approach for making a big deal out of it. So I took time off and began to study all the long-standing, still freshly current institutions like Harvard, like Yale, like Princeton, like Duke, like Columbia, like Cambridge, like Oxford. Went through for weeks and for months exploring the details of their funding strategies, what they employed in getting started, how it has worked through the first 100 years, the first 200 years, the first 300 years. I became older than my age in no time by finding out what has happened long, long before I saw the light of day. I found in my search, Harvard was already 366 years old then. Yale was 287 years old. Oxford was 1,016 years old. I mean, you see, so it was easy for me to say, look, if this could last for this long, then we must know what the foundation of it was. And then the Holy Ghost began to brood on my understanding to be able to pick the relevant facts. Today, there is Covenant University. If Jesus studies the next 1,000 years, it will only be growing in prominence. Because of a commitment to learning. You need to understand this. Africans always stand with the devil to discredit success. The reason is so that no one else will taste it. There are struggling pastors in this country today who have never found out how churches grow. They have never read any book on how to grow a church in their life. And when they see a growing church in their town, they start reading minutes to it that the man must have buried a cow. Okay, you too bury a cow. A cow is very cheap. Amen. Because our culture celebrates a mystical approach to life. But there is nothing mystical about life. Life is practical. We say somebody is using charms. You use God. Who is greater between God and charm? Stop explaining away your failure. Wake up and accept responsibility. This is what it takes. Never embark on anything without first seeking adequate, relevant, and current information that will help your planning process and enhance the quality of your pursuit, which will determine the quality of your ultimate delivery. Never getting it. That is what it takes. So I'm going to advise you, therefore, tonight, if you recognize that to carry a leadership seed in you, then accept the leadership responsibility, which is an addiction to learning. Much learning was making Paul mad, and that cost his greatness to excel above all others. Let's get back to work. Let's get back to work. Life is not about fun. Life is a business. He said, do business with this till I come. Not have fun with this. Luke 19 verse 13. Do business. He said, occupy till I come. Do business with this till I come. It takes a serious approach to secure a glorious result. Do business with this till I come. And blessed is the man whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Not shall find so playing. Shall find so doing. So get out of here and separate yourself from playboys and playgirls. And tell yourself, I refuse to settle with you. I am an eagle. I refuse to be mistaken for a duck. I'm an eagle. I refuse to be mistaken for a duck. I am an eagle. And I refuse to be mistaken for a duck. This Bible in my hand is my 28th Bible in my short journey. And when I say my Bible, I mean, when you see it, you know it's my Bible. I write all kinds of stuff inside. And when we're talking anything, I'll go up down and say, okay, 1987, I had this one. Then I pluck it out. And I show you exactly what the Lord told me there. And you see the date there with your eyes open. When in my office, I'm talking something there. And I say, okay, reach out for my diary, 1982. And I brought it out and opened the page. Look at this. 1992, this date, this happened. Life is business. Don't watch your destiny go bankrupt. Begin to make adequate investment into your future. Don't wake up and be loitering around. You are too much for that. You are not a Lumanjiri. You are too much for that. You are too much for that. You are not the kind of person that will say, where has he gone? We don't even know. He has gone. That's how he goes. He has gone. They say, when is he coming back? Nobody can tell who. 11, 12, 1. He say, may God. Don't be that irresponsible. Don't. Don't be deceived that you are young. People at the age of 8 ascended throne in Israel. At the age of 16 ascended the throne in Israel. You are getting too old for the thing. So wake up and stop playing fun. Stop having fun. 3 days can change your entire world of serious sitting down and say, look, there must be a way out of here. There's a world of difference, like I said, between schooling and learning. Schooling is but for a period of time. Learning is for a lifetime. Amen. Say with me, there is nothing new under the sun. There is nowhere I'm going that somebody has not been there before. So help me to locate, Lord, the mentors on my way that will monitor my steps to the throne. There is nothing new under the sun. There is nowhere I am going that someone has not been there before. There is no calling on my life that someone has not received before. You see, when you understand that, it will help you in reaching out. It will help you in reaching out. It will help you in reaching out effectively, committedly, dedicatedly. There are books I lay hold upon, and when I read some things inside it, I just, this is something. Lord, I thank you for this. I read a book many years ago, The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. It opened the ceiling on my mental faculty. I read a book about 32 years ago titled Like a Mighty Wind by Meltari, the story of the revival in Indonesia. It opened up my understanding to the reality of the supernatural in the present day, the continuity of the apostolic age. I read the book, The Apostle of Faith, a book written on Smith Wigglesworth. It gave me a superiority mentality over all principalities and powers. I saw myself as being empowered to determine what happens in any conflict. I read a book by T.L. Osborne 30 years ago, titled The Purpose of Pentecost. It healed me of spiritual deafness. And I heard the voice of God direct. And from that day, I've been hearing that voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. I read that book in one sitting. Come and say one sitting. That's when you become an addicted learner. I sat down. I couldn't stand up. I was engrossed. I stretched my back. I won't stand. I read it through from page one to the last. And I stood up like a one wind. So it's all you. You will determine what happened. Listen, as a growing up boy, when other boys were all on the streets playing, I would march my way to a primary school during holidays in the secondary school and sit down there reading all kinds of literature to enhance my communication act. Because I know that whatever thing you are going to do in this world, you will need to be able to communicate effectively. You can't eat your cake and have it. There is no free lunch in life. Ignorance is a disease, a killer disease. All we gather in school is literacy. We now apply the literacy in searching for relevant informations in line with our calling. It's all literacy. The real task is outside. May I at this point mention the story of Rotimi Williams, the legal legend that is gone. He had one dangerous sense of responsibility that he was never found going up and down here and there. He was so focused on making a mark in his practice. No wonder he ended up becoming Timmy, the law. He became the custodian of the legal system of a whole nation because of an unusual commitment in the pursuit of his career. The choice is yours. While I give testimonies of vibrant believers, we give testimonies of men in the secular system to get you angry. If someone that does not have an understanding of his covenant rights could fly so high, why am I here? You are here, you are there where you are because you won't do what you should do. When you do it, God is too faithful to fail. He will get you there. Destiny is like stock exchange. Levels change per day. How many understand that? So that you are classmates today, don't deceive yourself that you are classmates for life. The classes, even when you are the same class, you are still by destiny rated into different classes. Because that guy is doing something that you are not doing, even though you sit in the same class. But in the computer readings in heaven, he's shooting high, 0.5 today, 0.5 tomorrow, 0.7 next tomorrow, and you are going the other way. And you think we're in the same class. I must have had some classmates, perhaps, who have never read one book since they left school. Have never read one book through since they left school in their life. And now you have another one who is reading daily. A bit to boost his resource in order to enhance his resource. You can't be at the same level. You can't be at the same level. So don't be deceived by sitting in the same class. Locate your own class. Begin to locate what? Your own class. Begin to locate your own class. Begin to locate your own class. Begin to locate your own class. You can come to the ministry the same time. That does not mean you are a classmate or ministry mates. In no time you find levels changing. Levels changing. Because that one is making an investment and the other one is not making. Every time you buy a dress, it only covers your body. When you buy a book or any other resource material, it provides a covering for your destiny. There are two different things. How many of you would like to know that I started buying books since 1974? So there are books on my shelf that used to be 60 kobo, whole book, 70 kobo, 80 kobo, whole text. While others were playing games all over the places, I was buying books, dressing my destiny for beauty and for color, reading and searching. Every issue of interest. I don't know which of Nigerian leaders that have ever had the biography I didn't have the time to buy. I was buying them and reading them. Finding out the stories of men and how they endure in their small beginnings. Even though they were secular people, I was boosting my own native intelligence by looking at them. And here you are, today jeans, tomorrow khaki, next tomorrow t-shirt, never enough, 20 shoes, not one text. They say tape, what concerns me about tape? Our books have sold millions this year, and I came across that mandate by reading a magazine, February 14, 1983. It was by reading an article in a magazine that the voice of the Lord has upon many waters came alive and launched me into that realm which is working today. Learners are open-hearted. They are ever sensitive as they begin to learn and read and search. I'd like you to change your budget. You have enough dress. There is no more competition. You need more information to secure your colorful destination. You need more information. Somebody bought me a pair of shoes. I asked him to go get me a pair of shoes, and he bought the one I said. He said, now brought another one. He said, this one is better. I said, how much is it? He mentioned the amount. I said, does he have an engine? I don't buy this kind. Your value system matters in determining the destiny of your life. It matters a lot. They found a house for me many years ago. They say it's 44,000 per annum. Ah, I said, see for sale? I came to this town in Lagos, living in a house of 12,000 per annum. 12,000 per annum. And enjoying my life and pursuing the assignment God has given me. It is not the clothes you wear that matters. It is the values you bear. Can I ask you before the Lord, get on your knees now. Everybody get on your knees. Let us call down for mercy for the birthing of a new generation of leaders. I'd like you to know you have a destiny that the devil is envious about, but it will not succeed. The same grace that raised a man like Benjamin Franklin is available. The same grace that gave the world a man like Michael Faraday is available. The same grace. I walked into Kenneth Hagin's office and I met him reading a book towards the tail end of his life. A book written by another author towards the tail end of his life. T.L. Osborne learned French at 70 and is preaching in it today. Learned Spanish, is writing in it today. Learning is a lifelong task. In the spirit and pray with understanding. Grace that will rescue me from disgrace. I receive it now. Go ahead and pray in the name of Jesus. My leadership destiny is tied to quality information. Quality information. Oh Lord, I need grace. A new order of grace tonight. In the name of Jesus, a new order of grace tonight. In the name of Jesus, a new order of grace tonight. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' precious name. Lord God of heaven, we bow our knees before you today. Paul said, I'm what I am by the grace of God. So we know that leadership is a product of the grace of God. Therefore, Lord, the grace that makes great, which includes the grace of addiction to learning, let it be the portion of everyone tonight in the name of Jesus. I curse the spirit of indolence. I curse the spirit of idleness. I curse the spirit of indiscipline. In the name of Jesus. Lord, a new order of grace for responsibility. Let it be released in the name of Jesus. Lord, the same grace that made Faraday great. Lord, let that same order of grace cause the birth of a new generation of leaders tonight in the name of Jesus. I pray for a renewed appetite for knowledge. Let it be in the name of Jesus. Let it be in the name of Jesus. Let it be, Lord, in the name of Jesus. No one's leadership destiny will go to the grave with him. Everyone ordained to be leading industrialists, no devil will rob you of it. Leading scientists, no devil will rob you of it. Leading academics, no devil will rob you of it. Leading politicians, you'll be anointed to reform the great nation of Nigeria. Leading financiers, you shall not fail in God's assignment for your life. Leading ministers of the gospel, you shall make it through to the end. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray that every grace you have given me access to, let it be multiplied upon your precious children in the name of Jesus. By divine direction, guide them to every relevant materials and resources required for their destiny. Lord, link them up with the right resources in the name of Jesus. Let every closed destiny here be reopened tonight. Let every closed destiny here be reopened tonight. Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Bishop David Oyedepo has just placed in your hands the key to all-round victory, exploits, success, and unquestionable dominion over all life's challenges. The end has come to all your struggles in Jesus' name. Please share your testimony with us. Write Bishop David Oyedepo, 21688 Ikeja, Lagos, Nigeria. Or call 817-9670, 817-9671, 817-9672, 817-9673, and 817-9674. Or send your testimony through the email bishop@winnerskinandland.org. And best of all, come hear the man of God live as you worship with us at Faith Tabernacle, Kinanland, Kilometer 10, Idiroko Road, Ota. On Wednesday, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. On Sundays, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. God bless you.